Just do it, must do it. Can you say that with me? Just do it, must do it. We're in a 2-week series, and it's going to be on communion and baptism. And I thought when I was thinking about this, oh no, I'm going to be bored. I'm going to be bored studying. The people are going to be bored stiff. So if you think you're going to be bored stiff, I know you're thinking it right now. It ain't going to happen. The Lord showed up in my office. Amen. I'm telling you, I studied this week. I learned things this week. And this isn't your typical little communion message where you're going to leave feeling good about yourself. It probably ain't going to happen. We're here to get some work done today. Amen. Don't you like it when you can go to church and you can, feel like, somebody slapped you every once in a while, but you leave better? Amen. Anybody like that, feel that way? I had a couple of men that this week I was able to share Christ with them. They come to our ministry here, to our church, and saw them both trust the Lord as their Savior this week. And the reason they said they came, they said they knew that I would probably smack them around, not let them off the hook. Why am I going to get up, work hard, plan all day, and not be faithful to God's Word? Amen? That's the plan. And this message today is going to be like that. So just grab the seats today and hold on. Here we go. Just do it, must do it. Let's pop it, Rog. Come on. See there? Let's go, Rog. Just do it. Just do it. Here we go. I'm going to drive that man crazy. At Fellowship Church, there are two things that we continue to do as Jesus did when he was on this earth. Now, there are more things, but there are two ordinances or things that we do at this church just like Jesus did when he was on this earth. It's communion. Say that with me. Communion and baptism. You might wonder, Gary, why you do communion there? Why you do baptism? It's because the Bible says so. Because Jesus did it. Why wouldn't I do that if he said do it? Say. That'd be dumb. We need to do what he said do. We need his blessings. If we're going to go for it, we're going for it all. Amen? We're not going to stop right here. We're going to do what he says do. It's not always pleasant. This is not unpleasant, but sometimes we do these two things and we do them in a way that's not pleasing to God, and we sort of think we've satisfied him, but we haven't. And we're going to look at it today from that angle. Let's keep looking. What do we see? Both proclaim the gospel. Both baptism and communion are unique because they both proclaim the gospel. Say what the gospel is with me in white there. Jesus died on the cross and Jesus rose from the dead. That's the gospel. You might have been taught somewhere, no, it's this, and it's this, and look, I've got to do this. No, that's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus gave his life for you and me on the cross. He arose from the dead. And the question is this, do you believe that? If your answer is yes, I believe that, and I'm trusting in that and that alone, then the word gospel means power, then you will then have the power to be saved, to be a Christian, born again. That's what the Bible teaches. That is the gospel, and both baptism and communion does that. But so we're going to see what they mean in this 2-week series. Also, are we to continue doing these things 2,000 years later? Come on, Clark, can't you get something new and fancy and a little bit different? Nope. Man, I still study every week out of an old black Bible. It's the way I do it. I'm not a computer guy. I know it's nice. You can get online, get all kinds of scriptures. I don't do that. It's okay if you do it. I'm sort of old-fashioned, amen? We stick with the book, and we stick with what Jesus said to do. So today's message is called, say it with me, just do it. Quit fussing about it and just get it done. Communion. Let's look at it. What's it about? And where are we coming from today? If you have your Bible with you, the scriptures are going to be on the screen as they always are, but we will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 today. It's that classic passage where Paul taught about communion, and he had to crack some corn and lay some people out because they were screwing it up. Are you hearing me? It was ugly, but he laid it out. And we're going to talk about that passage today, what communion means. It doesn't matter where you've come from, what church you've been to, that doesn't mean a thing to me. What's the Bible say? Amen? Let's get it that way. And if we got it that way, it don't matter where you go from here on, you'll have it right. Amen? Let's do it that way. What's communion mean? Well, in the dictionary, in Webster, it means a state of intimacy. It means sharing common interest. That's what communion means. In the Bible, it shows up like this. It means coming together. Can you say that with me? It means coming together. You'll see this repeated over and over again in Scripture. Coming together. When they came together, they came together, they came together. Same word, you could put communion there. They had communion. They had communion. They had communion. They had communion. Sometimes we think communion is that little cup and that little cracker. That's communion. That's a small part of what communion is. And we're going to talk about it today. It's the first time I've ever preached a message on communion in my 25 years of ministry. So Clark learned this week. I've read this passage over and forth and back and up and down many years. But it was only this week that I felt like I really learned something that helped me. 1 Corinthians in a mighty way. 1 Corinthians 11, 18. Let's just look at this word come together. It appears several times. Say it with me. For first of all, when you what? Okay, now y'all right? All right, here we go. Come on. Come together. Come together. Come on. Here we go. Let's look at another one, Raj. Another scripture. When you what? Come together. See, it's right in the Bible. I'm not lying to you. 1 Corinthians, and this is all in that one passage that he's talking about communion, but it's in other places in the scriptures as well. Wherefore, my brethren, when you do what? Come together. So, a good definition for communion is to come together. Are y'all with me on that? Say. It means to come together. Now, let's keep looking. What we have in common. That's the idea, to come together. We have a common purpose. So what we have in common, say it with me, is who? Say it with me. Jesus Christ. That's what we have in common here. That's what brings us together on Sunday morning, is Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And I don't know why I keep pointing to my left when I sing, but for some reason, I just want you to know, it ain't about me, it's about Him. It's about Him. When we sing, it's about Him. Okay? And He's high and lifted up. It's about Him. That's the thing that we come together for. And you might not know that. You might be thinking, well, no, I've been coming together for the donuts. Well, you're going to have to get over that, brother. Amen? Come on. I don't think you do that. But listen, it's all about Him. If you'll listen today, it's going to help you. It's going to change your life. If you'll get this thing down in your head today, it'll help you. What we come together for is who? Say it with me one more time. Jesus Christ. That's why we're here today. That's why all the preparation was made. That's why we have this facility. That's why signs are out front. That's why volunteers showed up early. That's why people practice music always. That's why all these things happen. That's why the graphics have been done. That's why the worship guide has been done. All of that work. For who? Jesus Christ. You might be accustomed to going to churches where they don't talk about Jesus. Well, that ain't this church. Okay? We talk about Jesus. We love Jesus. It was Jesus Christ that saved your pastor from a hell hole. Why should I quit talking about Him? Say, that'd be crazy. Wouldn't it be stupid? Not going to do that. It's all about Him. So communion's all about who? About Him. Let's keep looking. So how are we supposed to just do it? People do communion different ways. So how are we supposed to just do it? Well, let's go back to the Bible. Let's look at this classic passage where they were doing it all wrong. And we'll get some correction and understanding on how we're supposed to do it right. Amen? I always learned lessons good from coaches when I was doing something wrong. They'd kick my tail, make me run. It was not easy for me to run, by the way. And Mama, she was like that too, baby. I mean, how many of you learn lessons good when you've done wrong and you get good teaching, huh? From your parents or something like that. I ain't gonna forget that no more. Well, this is what happened in this passage. Paul's dealing with them. The first thing on how you do it is just do it, is just, say it with me, get along. I gotta have some more help though. Here we go. Just get along. You can't come together and you can't do communion, which means come together, and it's all about Jesus, if you're not getting along with each other in the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ on this earth. Did you know that? Say. It's what we are. The church is called the what? We're the bride of Christ. We're the body of Jesus Christ on this planet. 1 Corinthians 1, just some scriptures about this idea of get along. You might have thought, what's that got to do with that little cup and that little cracker? Has everything to do with it. Keep looking. 1 Corinthians 1, 11 and 12. For it's been declared unto me of you, my brethren. Paul writing. By them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are what? Say it with me. Contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you says, I'm of Paul. Some other group in the church, they're divided. I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm of Cephas. That's Peter. Well, I'm of Jesus. They were all split up, man. They couldn't get along. It was a mess. Keep looking. 1 Corinthians 11:18, this classic passage, that first verse we're going to look at. For first of all, when you what? Say it with me. Come together in the church, I hear that there be what? Come on. Divisions among you. And what did Paul say? And I partly believe it because I know some of you. Okay? So the first thing with communion, we got to realize it's not about that little cup and it's not about that cracker. There's a bigger picture here. Are y'all getting it? Or are y'all starting to get a little bit of it? Listen, you can drink that juice till the cows come home and eat your whole box of cookies. But if you've got aught with your brother, if you don't forgive your brother or sister, you won't be forgiven. But I did this. Big deal. I could care less. You got to get along. Keep looking. There can be no divisions. There can be no factions. Say that last part with me. There can be no politics. I resigned my last church. If you'd have to ask me, why, Clark, did you after 17 years resign? I'd have to say it was because of that right there, and it was because of politics. And it wasn't like I didn't stay a long time. I stayed a long time. We saw a lot accomplished for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen? And in the meantime, I was able to serve alongside of Joy's dad, and I grew up in the ministry. Amen? Couldn't have had a better teacher, someone to help me. I love him to this day. I think of him often, especially with Father's Day just passing, because he was a father to me. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to serve alongside of folks where there's fighting and bickering and mess. I'll go sit on my porch and watch the water. Amen? See, I'm not in debt up to my eyeballs. I serve and want to serve. And this ain't a message to get on to you because we got a great church, thank God. I'm just putting you on warning. This is a place where we get along. Amen? Say. If you want to fight somewhere, you want to go have politics, have at it. I can recommend a dozen churches in the area you can go to. This ain't this, and we're not going to build something for the glory of God on the back of that kind of mess. Amen? And there's no communion. There's no reason to come together if you got that mess. It's crazy. That's what this is saying. Listen, if we do this, then there's no what? Worship. If we do those things, then there's no what? Point. Does that make any sense to anybody other than me? Amen. Plain English. So first thing we got to do in communion is we've got to get along. And that's why Jesus established communion. That's why we take communion. That's why we have this focus. It just reminds us it's about the body of Christ getting together and glorifying Him. It's about Him. It ain't about us. Y'all listening? Get along. Divisiveness, resentment, stinking attitudes toward each other makes communion reprehensible. Plain English, it makes God throw up. He said to the church at Laodicea in the book of Revelation, I would that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, you're playing games, I'll do what? Say it with me if you know it. I will spew you out of my mouth. Okay, so we got to get along. So what does that mean? That means if you've got divisions or factions or you got aught with somebody, you need to repent and get right with God. And don't bring that kind of mess to the Lord's table. Are y'all hearing it today? And you ought not bring that kind of mess to this place. This is a worship service where we worship the Lord. And you know what I feel in this place? It's a high school auditorium, but I feel the Spirit of the Lord, and I feel liberty in this place. A lot of preachers, for what I just said, they'd haul them off. Just so far what I said. They'd kick them out of their churches. For standing for the truth of God's Word. Isn't that crazy? Say. I think it's 3 out of 4 new ministers coming out of seminary. Within 18 months, they quit their church and they find another line of work. 1,500 pastors a month in the United States are leaving the ministry. I don't blame them. Now, a lot of them, it's their own fault. But a lot of them is because they're refereeing a fight. Amen? Say, I got better things to do than referee a fight.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, I'm staying your point. I'm staying. Just both of you shut up.
You know, well, anyway. Lord, help us. Amen? Well, we got to go with the message. I could just park it right there. Amen? Say it with me. Come together. First part of communion. This is the Bible. Keep looking. Second thing is this. Just get fellowshipping. I ain't good English. I know Sally going to get on to him. Here we go. Just get fellowshipping. What does that mean? Look at it. Look at the scriptures right in this passage. We need to skip the verse hardly. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 11:20-22. When you come together, therefore into one place, Paul says this. This is not to eat the Lord's Supper. You got to keep reading to understand. What you doing ain't the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one of you takes before another his own supper. One's hungry, some guy over there is drunk. I've seen the Lord's Supper. This ain't the Lord's Supper. Amen? That's what he's saying. Keep looking. He says, what? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for the way you're doing this mass? I praise you not. I like Paul, didn't you say? Boy, he helps me. He talks good sense, man, under the inspiration of the Spirit. Just get fellowshipping. What does that mean? Well, let's go back to the early church, a little bit in the book of Acts. How did they do things when they started out, when the Spirit was hot on fire on them? Look at it. Chapter 2, verse 44. And all they that believed were what? Together. They had all things what? Common. Doesn't that sound like a nice church to go to, say? And they sold their possessions and goods. They parted them to all men as every man had a need. They continuing daily with what? One accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with what? Gladness and singleness of heart. Praising God, they had favor with all the people. This is the part I like. Look at that last part. And the Lord added to the church, say it with me, such, daily, such as what? Should be saved. I guess this getting along stuff's important, ain't it? Say, if folks are going to get what? Saved. I'm not out here. You don't hear me out here pushing numbers. You got to get out there. You can win 15 to Jesus this week. We're keeping account. Keep a record. No game playing. I do challenge you to share your faith and share your testimony and reach out with the message of Jesus Christ. That's why we make a big deal of Jesus when they come in this house. Amen? That's what it's about. But boy, spirit matters. I'm talking about the spirit of us getting along and fellowshipping together. Look at verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, of one soul. Neither said any of them of the aught, the things which he possessed was his own. The pettiness that goes on in church. The territorialism that goes on in church. This is mine. It's my typewriter. Lady years ago, as you've heard me say this before, lady years ago at our other ministry, didn't he actually want to let my wife use a typewriter? My wife was a bookkeeper. And the computer was broke and the people needed their checks. No, you can't use my typewriter. Idiot. That's stupid. Is that stupid or what? How many fire somebody if you had a business like that and the job had to be done and somebody else was mucking around and messing like that? I'd let, you're done. Isn't that right, say? There's just some dumb things going on in church. I ain't saying we've arrived and we got all the smarts. Don't get me wrong. I got warts and wrinkles and issues. And some of you see them already. What? So anyway, they all had all things what? Common. Wow, what a spirit. And this is what I want. Look at this. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And how many of you would like some of this stuff on you? And great grace was upon them all. How many want some of that on you? Amen? Come on. Grace in your marriage. Grace in your work. Grace on your young ones. Amen? Can't have grace if you're not giving grace. Amen? Listen, if I got an issue with Stephan over here, that's my brother. You know what I'm saying? And there ain't nothing you and I can't fix with some grace. Amen? We can fix anything with grace. Everything. can be accomplished with this. So what's communion about? Listen, I thought it was about the little cup and the cracker. Oh, it is. But you got to get yourself worked up to it now. Come on. Got to get along. Number two, you got to get to fellowshipping. Because in the early church, communion was often preceded by what was called a love feast. That's just a big, big, big fancy meal. They had not fancy, but they brought food. They loved on each other. They fellowshiped together. People would fellowship together in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can't you see now how, wow, communion, coming together. And then when you do take of the cup and the bread, boy, it probably means a little more, doesn't it, say? Because we're the body of Christ. They would bring food. They would share it with everybody. This is what they did. This sharing of food represented their being unified together in the body of Christ. Roger and I were talking this week, and I gave him this message, and he's doing a graph. He got so happy when he realized getting together for food was of the Lord. Me and him both, we had a little shout and spell. That's of the Lord. Amen. Let's go eat. Didn't we go eat right after that? I think we did. No, that was the day before. Okay. Anyway, get fellowshipping. How do you do it? Well, you can't be selfish. You can't be selfish. If you come into this body, and I'm not talking about the communion service, I'm talking about the community here at Fellowship Church. We can't be selfish. Amen? It can't be, it's about me. We need to go, it's about Jesus Christ and it's about other people. You try that and it'll work every time. It's about Jesus and it's about others. It'll work every time. We love Jesus and we love who? People. Amen? It works every time. So you can't be selfish. How can you fellowship? Do be sharing with one another. Do be submitting one to another. Do be serving one another. There's nothing that Don Lutz and I can't get over. If I'm sharing with him or submitting one to another, our wills to one another under the Lord's leading, and if we're serving one another. You can get over anything. Are y'all listening or not? The architect came in and he brought his other architect with him. They had two in here last week. And we were working. And they were mainly working. I'm just talking with them. But anyway, I took them in my truck and we rode all around town, the greater Englewood area. And while I was doing it, something happened because I've been here so long. I drove by this church and I realized they just removed their pastor, got rid of him. I go to this other church and it was a year ago that pastor bit the dust. And I go to another church. That pastor's, you know, he left 2 years ago, and there's a big split there. I was depressed driving around Englewood. Are y'all listening? And it's because of this kind of mess right here. I'm convinced of it. It's because we don't get along, and we don't fellowship, and we don't have communion. Amen? So I just want to say it again. If you want to be a pain in the rear end, find somewhere else. Because I might not know that you're that yet, but I'm praying that you cross my path. If you want to be divisive and you want to cause problems, I'm praying that God allows you to run into me. And I'm also praying that this congregation knows exactly who you are and what you're up to. I personally don't need you. We don't need that. Amen? I would welcome you to repent. I'm not saying you're here. I don't know, but a church crowd this size, we probably got some folks that's like that. Amen? Come on. Or if you come from another church and you're bringing your church slop and crap with you, brother, you need to deposit out in the yard. We don't want that here. Why? It's not because I want peace in my life, but that is part of it. But I want the power of God on this ministry. I want the grace of God to be on all of us. And we're not going to have it if we don't do it this way. See, communion is a pretty big thing, isn't it now? Say. It's not just about that thing we do on Wednesday night once a month, that's huge. But without this, that's meaningless. Does that make sense to people today? Come together. That's what it's about. Let's look at this one. And we got to fly now, Raj. We're in warp speed because I think we've laid it out. You got to just get focused. Say that with me. Just get focused. So get along. Get to fellowshipping. Get focused. 1 Corinthians 11:23, we've read it many times. Many of you have had this said at communion over the years. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Say that last part with me. This do in
focus
in remembrance of me. Why are you doing this? It's for me. Amen? It's what it's all about. Why do I need to humble myself and get along? Why do I need to humble myself in fellowship? And even if I'm not given to doing that, why? Because it ain't about me. It's about the greater good of the kingdom. Amen? After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament or the New Covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Focus! For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you're showing my death to everybody until I come again. Amen? It's all about the gospel. It's huge. I think when you get a better understanding like this, communion will not be a petty event. Amen? And communion isn't down yonder on Wednesday night. Communion starts Sunday right here. Amen? Y'all hearing me? It's huge. This do in remembrance of Jesus. That's why we do that. We come together. We remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That's what it's all about. The bread, say that with me, reminds us of his physical body. Next time you put that little cracker in your mouth, and you chew it, I hope you'll remember his back was beaten so bad it was just flesh hanging. When you chew it, you'll remember the crown of thorns that was knocked down in his head. You hearing me? Say, why do we do this? Is it a snack? No. I do this to remember his physical death on the cross. And if you got those first two ducks in a row, brother, that'll do something for you. Amen? Boy, and it helps you. Get focused. Some scriptures. Matthew 26:67. We're just going to read several. Then did they spit in his face. They buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor, they took Jesus into the common hall. They gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him. They put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him. And they took the reed and they smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him. They put his own raiment back on him. And they led him away to crucify him. Say that with me. We must never forget the physical suffering that Jesus endured on our behalf. And some of you have never even had this kind of focus. It'll change your life. It'll help you get over anything. It'll help you get along. It'll help you get on your knees and cry like a baby because of sin in your life and relationships that are out of whack. Y'all hearing me say? Get focused. The juice reminds us of his shed blood. That's why we have the grape juice. It's what we use here, the fruit of the vine. John 19:17 and following. And he bearing his cross, he went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. There were two others with him on either side, and Jesus was in the middle. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. And there was set a vessel of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar. They put it upon hyssop, and they put it into his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, say it with me, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Verse 32, then came the soldiers to break the legs of the first and the other which were crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. And so they didn't break his legs. But one of the soldiers took a spear and he pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. And he that saw it, John writing, bears record. And he says, I've written this record. It's true so that you can know that it's true and that you can believe. Amen? communion. It's pretty important, isn't it? Okay? Say this with me. We must never forget the worth of Jesus' priceless blood that was shed for us. Communion. Get along. Get fellowship and get focused. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no what? There's no remission of sin. And that's why it's sort of amusing and really crazy and sad at the same time if you think you're going to heaven some other way than the blood of Christ. Amen? Oh no, Jesus, you go die and you'll shed your blood for the people, but you know, oh no, Earl, Fred, come on up this way. It don't matter. Mm-mm, he didn't matter to me, my son there. Or just because you say some other religious leader's name, come on up, you're in, you're out. It's over. You hear me say? It's really important. Focusing on the selfless death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and our Savior, ought to be enough to rebuke the selfishness and senselessness that permeates so much of the church today. I can't imagine why church problems can't be resolved by this. Say, I had the unpleasurable task. I don't even know if that's a word either. Of listening to a pathetic message on the radio where the preacher actually condemned the people for being willing to forgive somebody. I nearly fell on the floor. He called the people because they were going to forgive stubborn. Basically said some things like that just aren't forgivable. How do we get to that place in church? Say. Is that like off a cliff or something? Or anybody hearing that or no? Say. This will help you keep your focus, all right? Say. I can't take communion without knowing the sinner and the horrible sin I have committed and where Jesus brought me from. It just keeps Clark in perspective. Amen? How about you? Does it do that for you? Get focused. Remember the bumper stickers and everything? Remember 9/11? Never forget. That's right. We shouldn't. How about this one right here? How about remember John 3:16? How about never forget that? Amen? That's what Jesus said. You do this as oft as you do in remembrance of me. Never forget, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we're finishing with this last one. The fourth point is this. Say that with me. Just get right. Get along. Get fellowshipping. Get focused. And if you ain't there, just get right. Just get right. What does the Bible say? We write down this passage. Verse 24:7, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily or in a way that ain't right. You're sitting there eating and taking of these elements and there's somebody over here you got aught with. You're not doing it right. Get along. Get fellowship. Get focused. And don't take communion like that. You'll be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches. But let a man examine himself. Then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily or in an unworthy manner or in a way that ain't right, eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many, or say it with me, weak and sickly among you and many what? It means they're dead. And I got to thinking this week in my office, a lot of churches aren't dead physically, but they're dead spiritually. I think this week the Lord impressed upon my heart, Clark, this is the way you keep your church alive. This is how you keep on track. Okay? Jesus didn't establish communion so we could have a little ritual. He didn't need to do that. He established communion so you and I could stay on track. Know what it's all about. It's all about me. Ain't about you. You're the body of Christ. Forgive. Get along. Fellowship. Focus. get right. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. I've been praying this week in my office and publicly. I've had to pray a few times in public in different events I've been at. And the two times I did that, I prayed that if we're not right with God at Fellowship Church, I pray God will chasten us. Amen? He's my daddy. And even if Dad whoops me, I know Dad loves me. And so I don't want to do things my way. I want to do it His way. And if we ain't doing it His way, or there's mess, then whoop us. That make any sense? Coming together ain't a spectator sport. It's sort of like a huddle here at Fellowship. Now, it's not a holy huddle where the whole world sees our rear end. Amen? We don't want to do that. That's not what we want. But we are in a huddle. We are in a huddle. Listen to me. I don't know if you play ball, but when you get in a huddle, look, that guard, that tackle, they got to pull the way they're supposed to pull. The tight end's got to do what he's supposed to do. A lot of times a tight end, he can't do what he's supposed to do. This guy doesn't do what he's supposed to do. We're a team. Amen? This is the church of the living God. This is where we are right here. It ain't a spectator sport. I want to encourage you. Get on the team. Come be a part. Get right with the Lord. Realize people matter. Realize this is important. What are you putting into it? What effort are you making? What are you bringing to the table? Say, the Lord's table, look, there it is. What you bringing to the table? Is your heart right with the Lord? Y'all getting anything today? Examine yourself and not somebody else's self. That's what the Bible teaches. Prepare yourself to give Jesus Christ the worship He deserves. Get right. Here's what Isaiah did. Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? They said, here am I, Lord, send me. Amen? It's amazing what communion will do for you. Coming together, hearing His voice. So come together, just get real. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hungers, let him eat at home. Can you say that with me? Let him eat at home. One more time, you ain't helping me. Let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. Isn't it crazy? We're going to have us communion. And God beats the snot out of us because we're not right with God. Isn't that stupid? Say, we shouldn't do this if it's going to lead to condemnation. That ain't even very bright. Communion is about love and fellowship with Jesus and believers. That's what communion's about. It's not about food and drink. Say that with me. It's not about food and drink. When we have shindigs at the beach or at our house, we love having you. It's great. We love the food. It ain't about the food and the drink. It's about you and me. Amen? Worshiping Him and loving each other. Communion helps us on a regular basis to put Jesus and others before our own priorities and preferences. That's why we have communion. Realize that you can eat anywhere. This week I ate at Carrabba's. I ate at Bob Evans 5 times. Bob won. But he passed away this week, so that's sad. But anyway, I ate at Mama's. I ate at Lock and Key. I ate at Joy's house. I got Publix deli sandwiches. Guess what? I can eat anywhere. When we have things, we don't do it just so we can eat. There's a bigger picture. It's so we can love on each other. Amen? And have communion. Let me say something to you. Get real. If you're so centered on the food, the Bible says, say it with me. Stay at home. Stay at home. If that's what your gig is. It's not what it's about. Say it with me, class. We got done. Here we go. It was long. Say it with me. Get along. Get fellowshipping. Get focused. Get right. Last one. Get real. Come together. Just do it. Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord.